We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning right here on American Family Radio Network. And while most of the time we discuss the top trending headlines and focus on civil government as one of the three spheres of government that God has ordained between the church government, the family government, and the civil government, we always like to recognize that it is God himself that is the person of truth, and the Bible gives us everything that we need as Christians to live rightly. And so we need to talk sometimes about culture, about the church, about family, about all of these different things and other headlines besides just political news, because Christians should be analyzing everything in terms of how we participate in the world around us. And as the Apostle Paul said, to be in the world but not of it, and how we confront our current culture and the ideologies and worldviews that they profess, because we need to be able to identify false worldviews if we are going to confront them with the truth. If we don't even know that a worldview is false, then how are we going to live rightly as Christians? And part of this becomes the entertainment world. And there's a new movie that is recently out in theaters called Inside Out 2. And for those of you who are boycotting Disney, well done. You don't even have to necessarily ever think about going to see this movie because it is a Disney Pixar movie. But you should at least be aware, I think, of what is being taught through this film and its predecessor, Inside Out. This is totally, completely psychology-based, and I remember going to see the very first one that came out, I think it was 2015, so about 10 years ago, in the theater with my family. And as all of you who are regular listeners know, my mom is a biblical counselor through the International Association of Biblical Counselors. And so we believe that the Bible alone is sufficient to address heart issues, to address sin with truth. We don't need, and in fact should not, borrow from the secular worldview of things like how to control our emotions, for how to deal with life's problems, and take from a secular, non-Christian, a false God or anti-God ideology. And this is exactly what this series of movies is doing. So joining me to discuss is my very good friend, Daryl Harrison, who a lot of you follow on social media. He is at D_B_Harrison, and he is on staff at Redeemer Bible Church in Arizona. And I had the opportunity recently to go out and actually visit Redeemer Church and see my good friend Daryl, his wife Melissa, and some friends that I stayed with. And because I had just seen Inside Out 2 with my friend, because I wanted to be able to confront the worldview that it's teaching, I asked Daryl if he'd be willing to watch Inside Out, the first one, and comment on this from a biblical perspective. And Daryl and Melissa were so kind to watch this. We had actually a lot of fun on movie night. So Daryl, good morning, and thanks so much for joining.
Hey Jenna, good morning. It is great to finally, and I emphasize finally, be with you on your program on AFR, my friend. Seriously, it is an honor to be with you, and I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, me too, Daryl. And I just have to say, I so appreciate your and Melissa's friendship and your biblical counsel to me over the years. We first met when Daryl was still with Grace to You and Grace Community Church out in California. I had an opportunity to meet him through, actually, I think it was Liberty University, and you know, some of the work we were doing there together. But then got more connected through everything that happened with Grace Church and the COVID pandemic. But you and Melissa have been just very dear friends, and I always so appreciate the body of Christ and Christians who will speak truth into my life and help me analyze my situation, my Christian life, and act and think biblically. And that's what you and other pastors do specifically in the realm of biblical counseling. So before we get into this film, can you just maybe take a minute to explain for listeners who maybe aren't familiar with the difference between a biblical counselor versus a Christian psychologist?
Yeah, I'd be glad. Thanks. That's a great question. First of all, Jenna, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to address that. Yeah, I would say that a fundamental difference between biblical counseling and even what in some spheres are called is called Christian counseling, let alone secular counseling. Biblical counseling, and you alluded to this earlier in your introduction, that biblical counseling stresses the sufficiency of Scripture to respond and give answers to every single issue of life. We know from the epistle of 1 Peter that Peter tells us that in Christ we have all that we need for life and godliness. So that's the sort of practical life that we live out in this world. And then there's the spiritual dimension. All of that is sufficient within the Word of God. So biblical counselors rely and emphasize completely the totality of the sufficiency of Scripture to address every single issue that we encounter in this sinful world. So that's a simple definition of what biblical counseling is, and that makes biblical counseling distinct from some forms of Christian counseling and definitely distinct from secular counseling, which is sort of the definition is intrinsic with the term. Secular counseling is completely secular. It does not bring in the Word of God. It does not bring in a biblical theology, a biblical anthropology. It does not bring in those elements into the solutions and the definitions that it stresses as it relates to the human condition. Some Christian counseling integrates some of that secular material in its processes in examining the human condition as well. So we call that integrationism, where in some forms of Christian counseling, they'll take some scripture over here, and then they'll get certain elements of the secular realm and the psychological realm, especially over here, even the sociological over here, and then they'll map out an integrationist plan for you to follow to deal with your issues in life. And the vast majority of issues, regardless of how they manifest themselves, have a spiritual root cause. And biblical counseling tries to address that fundamentally. Biblical counseling targets the heart for the root cause of those issues and then applies the precepts, principles, and teachings of Scripture to those heart issues in a discipleship way, where a biblical counselor walks you through those, and as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit in embedding those principles in our heart, we live them out. Now, that is not to say that a situation or an issue that a biblical counselor's approach with would magically disappear. You know, the Word of God is not some magic potion where you just sort of tap a person on the head with a magic wand, so to speak, and your issues disappear. You alluded to this earlier, that we walk with the person through the Scriptures, Christ, the Holy Spirit, we walk with you. As you deal with those issues, as it relates to what Scripture teaches, and then it helps us to be able to manage biblically whatever those issues are that we're facing. So biblical counseling emphasizes fundamentally the sufficiency of Scripture to manage every single issue we face in life.
And this is so distinct from any of the world's solutions when they have excised God from any type of counseling or any analysis and advice on how we should confront our problems, how we should live our lives, because every human being has to encounter and address some of the same questions that we have our purpose as human beings, what to do with, for example, all of our emotions. And that'll get us to our film critique in a moment. But then everyone encounters problems, and they range from the very small and transient to some, you know, very lifelong or perhaps, crippling effects and trials that maybe for a time or be over the course of our lives. And we all have to decide where we get advice on how to navigate those situations. And I'm speaking with Daryl Harrison, who is also the co-host of the Just Thinking podcast. And I would really encourage everyone listening, if you haven't listened to the Just Thinking podcast, be prepared. A lot of them are like 3 hours long and get really in depth. And this is why they only release a new episode maybe around once a month or so, because it's very detailed on a very specific subject matter, but you will learn a lot about a topic from a biblical, truthful worldview. Things like critical race theory, things about climate change. One of my favorites that you and your co-host Virgil Walker, Daryl, just did was this was a few months back, but on did God really say? And this whole mm-hmm. question of how can we trust the Bible? How do we know what God has said? And so when we contrast these two competing analyses of do we address our issues as humans and also our identity as human beings made in the image of God, do we confront them with truth or something else? And the world only has something else. And so this film, Inside Out, and the reason that I wanted to dedicate a whole show to this is because it is such a perfect example of how literally insane the leftist, non-Christian, secular view of how we should understand ourselves as human beings is. And so for people who haven't seen this, let me just set this up really quickly. Inside Out, the first film in 2015, is about this young girl who's about 11. And she... it goes through her birth, and she has a couple of emotions, and they're personified in the movie. So you see kind of the inside of her head, and there's this console that controls how she feels. And each of her emotions, the core emotions being joy, sadness, fear, anger, and disgust, they react to situations that this little girl encounters in her life, and they literally control her. So the whole idea is that your emotions control you and control your personality. And then ultimately in the second movie, then she turns 13 and she has new emotions, including anxiety and envy and embarrassment. And so anxiety and joy as the two emotions are fighting together over how to control this girl. And she has no autonomy. She has no decision-making herself. She's literally just controlled by her emotions. And there's a thing in the second movie called her sense of self, which is this like giant, almost trophy looking mystic thing in the middle of her mind that is when the emotions get close to it, it resonates with this voice of this little girl that says, "I am a good person." And the sense of self then ultimately gets destroyed when anxiety takes over and it's, "Oh, I'm a terrible person. Oh, I have all this self-doubt." And then, spoiler alert, it resolves with all of the emotions coming together, hugging the sense of self. And the sense of self is now more complex to recognize that sometimes I'm a good person, sometimes I'm not, and that's okay. It just depends on what emotion is controlling me at the time. So, Daryl, you had an opportunity to watch the first Inside Out movie. What was your initial reaction to this whole idea that our emotions control us?
Yes, I had a lot of thoughts on that, Jenna. And I think just to tee up what I thought about the movie, I have to go back to something that you said earlier here in this broadcast, that it was told the first Inside Out. I haven't seen the second one, but the first Inside Out, I agree that it was totally psychologized. It was totally secularly psychologized in the message that it was conveying throughout the film. I think you know, as I sort of was preparing for our conversation this morning, I landed on Proverbs 25:28. Proverbs 25:28 says, "A person without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." So Riley, the featured character in the first Inside Out movie, and obviously the second Inside Out as well, she is portrayed as a young girl who lacks self-control. Regardless of the emotion, the fundamental issue that I found with her is that she lacks self-control. And what Inside Out does is that they not only display this sort of panoply of emotions that Riley has, but the movie actually weaponizes the emotions against one another. And I think that's really problematic, especially when you consider, again, something you alluded to earlier, that each of us, every single human being, is created in the image of God. We know that from Genesis 1:26 and 1:27. And being created in the image of God, God created us with what we call certain communicable attributes. That is, in our bearing the image of God, we share some attributes that God shares. And so, and one of those communicable attributes, rather, is our emotions. God, we serve a God who has emotions. Scripture talks about God's love. Scripture talks about God's anger. Scripture talks about God being jealous. Now, of course, God's anger and jealousy is righteous. Ours is not. Ours is tainted by sin. But the point I'm trying to make is that what is important to for us as believers, if we're to watch, if we're watching a film like Inside Out, we have to watch it within the framework of Genesis 1:27. Now, you're not going to get this from the film, of course, but as believers, and I've always said that every Christian is an apologist. As an apologist, you have to know how to overlay Scripture over the culture. So that's what I'm trying to argue here, is that we have to overlay Genesis 1:26 and 27 over what we're seeing in the film Inside Out. And Inside Out weaponizes those God-given emotions against one another so that they're competing for control over Riley. And I think it's incredibly, what I found incredibly interesting, if not upsetting, was that in the film, the emotion of joy was the one that was sort of the carrying the banner for Riley, that Riley must be happy, Riley must be happy, Riley must be happy. Riley should never be sad. Riley should never feel anxiety. Riley should never feel depressed. So the emotion of joy must have the victory above all else. And I thought that was problematic because, again, God created us with these emotions. The question is, how do we deal with them? So I thought Inside Out, among its other problems, I found most foremost the fact that the film weaponizes these emotions against each other. They pit these emotions against one another so that the ultimate goal is Riley's happiness, that's the goal. And I don't think, if you look at a film like that biblically, it couldn't be more wrong, to be honest with you.
So well said. And we're going to take a break here with Daryl Harrison, my special guest today. We're talking about the movie Inside Out and also the sequel, which is Inside Out 2, and how Christians should view the culture and respond biblically. And I want to follow up on this whole idea that joy has to control everything and that's our goal as humans, which is what the film says, that we should always just have joy, no other emotions. They're bad for us, right? But our emotions control, and they're the ones that are warring against each other. And this type of analysis should be done with anything in culture. But specifically, you know, this film right now that's one of the highest grossing movies in the country, I think is important to discuss because it shows so clearly how a secular worldview is so pervasive, and it's teaching children that their emotions control them, and that is so wrong. So we'll be right back with more here with my special guest, Daryl Harrison, right after this. This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade, but did you know that the number of abortions actually increased in the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Speaking truth with love. This is Jenna Ellis in the morning.
Welcome back. And for today's program, I'm so excited to have a very special guest, Daryl Harrison, that many of you will know from the Just Thinking podcast. You can go and find that anywhere that podcasts are streamed. And he's also an on staff pastor at Redeemer Bible Church in Arizona, and most importantly, one of my very dear friends. And it's given me many counseling opportunities to just speak truth into my life and help me navigate all of the things that have, you know, as listeners are aware of, that I have navigated very publicly in my life over the last few years. And it's always so encouraging to meet those emotions that we do feel, Daryl, with truth. And you know, and this is a great segue into the next segment that you were talking about. And we're talking about this movie Inside Out from Disney. The second one just got released not that long ago, and you know, and is one of the biggest movies right now in the country. And we need to be able to answer the worldview in movies, in culture, in entertainment with truth. And this movie in particular, I think, is so insidious because it suggests to the children watching, and even to the adults who think it's very cute, it's a cute movie, that your emotions control you. And Daryl, you were saying at the end of the last segment that joy as the emotion is the whole point of this, is that joy needs to control this little girl, Riley. And the goal of Riley's emotions is that she only needs to feel joy instead of, I mean, as a Christian, I have definitely felt anger or sadness or fear. And that's not necessarily wrong in and of itself. It just shows what I am thinking, and I need to respond to those emotions with truth, which is never in this film at all. Joy is basically pleasure or happiness or comfort. Joy is completely disconnected as a personified emotion in this film from truth. There is never any conversation about whether the circumstances that this little girl faces, that her emotions are truthful or they're based in truth, how to respond in truth.
Yeah, Jenny, right there, you mentioned the key word, and that was the key word, circumstances. And in the film, Inside Out 1, Joy's emotions, all of them, Riley's emotions, all of them, are rooted in her circumstances, in her situations. So every single emotion, whether it's anger, joy, anxiety, fear, you name it, every single emotion is triggered by a change in her circumstances. As a matter of fact, I would argue that given that Inside Out is a secular film, that it would have been better to rename the emotion that the film refers to as joy. It should have more accurately been called happiness, because in the secular world, that is what the world pursues. The world pursues happiness. The world does not pursue joy as Scripture defines joy. So what Riley ran into repeatedly in the film Inside Out 1 is when her circumstances changed in such a manner that she was discontent, she was disappointed, she was saddened about them, her happiness level totally reduced down to zero. But when things were going her way, her happiness level was up. So I think, you know, not to be get all mixed up in semantics here, but I think there is an argument to be made that what Riley was seeking in the film was not joy. She was seeking happiness. And but the film referred to it as joy, so I'll roll with that. Biblically speaking, however, we know from Romans 5:12 and in other scriptures as well, that death entered the world through sin. Now, the reason I bring up Romans 5:12, we're not necessarily talking about death with this particular film, Inside Out. However, we are talking about sin resulting in a kind of death as it relates to situations or circumstances that make our emotions manifest themselves for better or worse. You know, we've all, you and I alike, Jim, but in our own respective ways, have experienced a kind of death in our lives. But that's what a world that has been affected by sin does. And I think in the film, you don't get any sort of semblance of that the circumstances that Riley ran into had a purpose, had a reason. They just seem to happen. And then when Riley responds, when they do happen, rather, when those situations and circumstances are Riley's reality, her emotions, you know, they all are rushing to this sort of control board, trying to see who gets control of how Riley's going to respond in that situation. And you don't want to live your life like that. You do not want to live your life as a slave to your emotions. And that's exactly what this little 11 or 12-year-old Riley was. She was a slave to her emotions, and that makes everyone around her a slave to her emotions as well. Her parents, her friends, and we see this in real life. Personally, for me, one area of focus that I try to concentrate on in my biblical counseling is discontentment. Christians who are battling discontentment. They're battling discontentment because there's something in their life that they want, but they don't have. And that is a huge issue within the church today, especially within marriages. There's spouses who are discontent because there's something in that marriage that they're not getting, and their happiness is diluted when they should be pursuing joy, a joy which can be found only in Jesus Christ, regardless of what your situation or circumstances are. So I'll just wrap up and say, watching the film, there was a clear distinction from my vantage point between the happiness that Riley was seeking and then the joy that the biblical man or woman, boy or girl, should be seeking despite what their circumstances present to them.
And so well said, because we are taught in Scripture that we as Christians can and should have joy in all our circumstances, but that comes from learning the truth, knowing that God is faithful, having the attributes ourselves of Christ, becoming daily more conformed to the image of Christ, not because all of our circumstances are pleasant or because we get everything we want all the time, but this movie does have the idea that Riley, the little girl, can only feel joy when everything is going her way and when joy is finally in control of her at this console in her mind. And it really should just be, as you said, pleasure. And this carries into the second movie that's out in theaters right now, Inside Out 2, because the whole idea of anxiety and joy clashing over how to control Riley. Joy saying, you know, she needs me. I need to be the one. I have her best interests in mind. And anxiety saying, well, I need to take control over this because Riley now needs to know that there are possible potential bad outcomes for her life. And the way that they clash results in this little girl who's 13 having a panic attack. And the way that anxiety is controlled ultimately is by letting go and joy coming back and being in control. And then that goes back to her more complicated or complex sense of self. And this is right out of the DSM, that the psychology manuals, Daryl, that are teaching our young kids. And what I've heard parents actually say in response to the first movie and then even the second one is, isn't this so great that young children are learning to identify which emotion is controlling them, and they're learning to feel and express every emotion so that they can have a better sense of self?
Yeah, and see, a fundamental problem with how parents are viewing that in that way is that it makes the child, now we're talking about children here, it makes the child their own God in a way. And I don't know any other way to put that. And what I mean by that is that the child, in identifying, oh, isn't this great that they just recognize all these emotions about themselves? Well, then that puts the child in the position of, it puts the onus on them to control themselves. well, what do I do about? I'm a child. I mean, I'm a pre in Inside Out 1. Riley is a pre-pubescent child. Where is she going to get the maturity to discern how to navigate this sort of buffet of emotions, if you will, in a mature way? She's not going to have that. It's not in her yet to do that. So a parent, and this is so, I love you said you used the word marketing earlier. This is exactly what this does. And this is a danger for many parents, Christian parents as well, that go see a Disney movie. They say, oh yeah, this is fun. This is a new, and then but they don't realize that this film is basically preaching a worldview to you. This is exactly what this, what Inside Out is doing, is preaching to you a parental worldview, is preaching to your children an identity worldview, is preaching to families a values system worldview. And in the film, when Riley's emotions are sort of overloaded, these certain aspects of her life that are represented by these sort of structural entities, when those emotions are out of control, those entities crash. They self-destruct, and they fall into this abyss of nothing. So how do you respond in real life to situations and circumstances that a sinful world, a sin-sick world, is going to present to you? That is the question the Christian must answer. And just quickly, Jenna, a couple of scriptures I want to cite to your listeners is one of my favorites in the entire Bible, is Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14, which says, in the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, consider that God has made the one as well as the other. See, you touched on something earlier, Jenna, and I think this is very important to revisit. The way the believer must manage their situations and circumstances must begin with a sound theology of God and who God is and God's character and God's nature. This is why a person can read a verse like Ecclesiastes 7:14 and says, yeah, when things are prosperous, I will be happy. But you know what? When adversity comes, I'm going to remember that the same God who allowed the happiness is the one, allowed the prosperity, is the one who allowed the adversity. And see, then I can have joy. I can have joy in either circumstance. You know, and then we go to James chapter 1, where James exhorts us to count it all joy. Now, you can do that only when you have a proper theology of God, only when you have a proper theology of the God who created you, who loves you, who is concerned for you, who will not lie to you, who will not give you a stone when you ask for bread. So in a proper navigation of our emotions, which in our sinful flesh can exhibit themselves in sinful ways, can be properly navigated only as we have a proper understanding, first of all, of who God is. And if we have that, we'll have a better understanding of who we are.
Yes, and that is exactly, Daryl Harrison, my special guest today, that's exactly what C.S. Lewis describes as understanding who we are based on our relationship with God. The only way that we know who we are is by first knowing who God is. And that is such a different worldview than this movie Inside Out is teaching, that our emotions just simply control us. And the parents in here, and it might surprise those of you who haven't even seen the first one, that Riley, this little girl, actually has a mom and a dad who are still married, and the dad isn't just this ridiculous figure. But it's very fascinating to me that for the purpose of this movie, both parents are still in her life, but they repeatedly say, where's our happy girl? Where's our happy girl? And when she's starting to go through these other emotions and joy is no longer in control. And so it's the parents who are repeatedly asking the girl, why isn't she acting happy? And so even the parents then, the overt message, not even subliminal, is telling children, oh, my parents just want me to be happy. They want me to feel joy. So the way that I do that is to make sure that joy is in control of me all the time, and I need to do whatever it takes to make sure that that I feel happy. And in the movie, you know, Riley makes decisions even to steal from her mom to run away. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of these really big things because Joy isn't in control. And so it almost gives kids an excuse to say, well, I'm not feeling Joy, so I can do whatever it takes to get Joy back into control of my life. And that's not the message that parents need to let their kids walk away with. I mean, I think this is a great example of a film that the discerning Christian parent could watch with their kids and say, okay, but what does God say about this? Why our emotions aren't in control of us? You know, and especially with older kids, you know, like 11, 12, 13 and up, to explain to them that the world is giving a false worldview. And it's a great teaching opportunity to say, you know, this is wrong. And why does it matter that we pursue what God wants from us in all circumstances? It's not just about being happy. And so how can parents, in just the last 2 minutes we have in this segment, Daryl, how can parents perhaps navigate this movie with their kids if they decide to see it together?
Yeah, and again, then I have to go back to Genesis 1:27. Again, I think the first thing a Christian parent needs to do is to emphasize with their age-appropriate child what it means that they are created in the image of God, that they are not just a clob of cells, you know, just meandering in this world aimlessly with no purpose or no mission in life. I think that's the first thing we need to do. And I think what we're seeing, and this is just my personal opinion, I think parents who didn't do that is why we're seeing a generation of people right now who are demanding everything because they've never had a really solid biblical paradigm of how to deal with disappointment, how to deal with not having their wants met. So parents need to sit down with their children with an open Bible. Take them to Genesis 1:27, remind them that they're created in the image of God, and that God loves, cares, and wants to direct their life because he's not a God of confusion.
Amen to that. And this is why teaching a biblical worldview in the very beginning, from the moment that a child is born, training them up in the way they should go so that when kids, even in college, you know, if you're looking at this movie and you don't have the biblical worldview to then discern this, you'll be led astray. So we're going to talk more with Daryl Harrison right after the break. And thanks for listening. This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning. We will be right back.
Speaking truth with love. This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome back, and I'm here with my very special guest, Daryl Harrison, who is a pastor at the Redeemer Bible Church in Arizona. If you are in the Gilbert, Arizona area, I would highly commend that church for your consideration. And he's also the co-host of the Just Thinking podcast with Virgil Walker, and you can find the Just Thinking podcast wherever you stream, and would also highly commend that to your listening, because Daryl is a biblical counselor, a theologian, and this conversation about how Christians are supposed to be in the world but not of the world, and while we can enjoy some forms of entertainment, we still need to critique the worldview that is presented and rightly divide truth from error. And Inside Out 2 is this new Disney Pixar movie that I was actually reading during the break here, Daryl, that this is apparently the third biggest opening day debut for an animated film domestically in the United States. So, I mean, this is really wide-reaching. A lot of parents are taking their kids to see this. And one of the things when you and I and your wife, Melissa, and our dear friends there in Arizona had a movie night and we're watching the first Inside Out recently, I had seen it when it first came out years ago, but it struck me watching the first film again that the emotions that control this little girl throughout the film refer to themselves and Riley, the girl, collectively as we, and these plural pronouns that would manifest in a queer theory kind of rhetoric. And so this language is intentionally embedded to say, oh, you know, we aren't happy, or, you know, we're very upset with mom and dad right now. What are we doing? Oh, we want to go back to Minnesota where we're from. And it's all of these ways subliminally of referring to this little girl in a queer theory sense, even though she's referred to as a girl. And yet, as you pointed out as well, I mean, she was wearing a rainbow sweater at one point. I mean, and so even though she is very clearly a girl in the film, they are intentionally also making her queer through the emotions that are collectively pluralized. And I thought that was a very insidious moment that I hadn't even recognized the first time I saw it.
Yeah, Jen, I think as you ask that question, I think it's very, very important that your listeners understand that when you say queer theory, you know, maybe 20 years ago, the word queer may have exclusively referred to someone's, you know, a level of effeminateness, if that's a word, within a male, or a sexual sort of proclivity that wasn't natural, either male or female. But that's not what that means anymore. That's not just what that means anymore. It means that, but that's not just what it means anymore. Queer theory is an entire worldview in which what has normally been considered normative human behavior can be anything that's antithetical to that normative human behavior. Anything, okay? So within the film, Inside Out, you'll see, you know, as you said, Riley is wearing a rainbow sweater in the film. There's a scene in the film where Joy is trying to desperately to rescue. She's partnering with Riley's imaginary friend to try to rescue Riley from her emotions of sadness. And they're trying to escape from this abyss in this sort of wooden wagon with two broomsticks as the exhaust engines. And when this device takes off from the abyss, they're trying to eclipse and reach this sort of mountain peak. But then the exhausts are rainbow-colored exhausts. I mean, the subliminal symbolism of queer theory ideology is definitely present in this film, but you have to know what to look for. So it's not going to be overt references to the queer worldview, but there are symbols that are very subtle that if you know what to look for, you can find them in this film. So never make the mistake. I'm saying this to your listeners. Never make the mistake of thinking that queer means, only some sort of sexual abnormal behavior. It doesn't mean that anymore. Now, to say this as well, a couple verses I want to point to, Jenna, to respond again to your question is, one is in Proverbs 27:19 that says, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. And then again in Proverbs 28:26, we have this very sobering word. It says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Now, why do I reference Proverbs 28:26 and 27:19? Is because in response to your comment earlier that in the film, plural pronouns are used to refer collectively to Riley as the person, and then Riley's emotions. They're all one. See, so Riley is not addressed as an individual, so she doesn't have to deal with her own individual heart. She doesn't have to deal with her emotions as a person, as an individual, as a unique image bearer of God. She, her persona, her personhood, her existence is united with her emotions, so that they are, in the film, Riley and her emotions are collectively, they're individually recognized, but collectively referred to as a plural pronoun. We and us. It's always we and us. But scripture would point Riley to her own heart and her responsibility and accountability of her own heart in acting out what could be sinful behaviors as her own volitional choices that she is making. That is why texts like Proverbs 28:26 and Proverbs 27:19 are so important. Now, before I hand it back over to you, I do want to say one more thing. In Ecclesiastes 2:24, unless anyone who's listening to get the idea, well, you guys are just, it's just a movie. Like you said, it was just a movie. What's the problem about having fun, taking your kids to go see the movie? Well, I get that. you know, Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, there is nothing better than for a man than to eat and drink and to tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God, for who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? I get it. But here's the thing. That the last part of that verse in Ecclesiastes 2:25 says, who can have enjoyment without him, without God? So you can't look at any sort of entertainment element apart, if you're a Christian, you can't look at any sort of entertainment element apart from critiquing, analyzing, and examining that thing through the Word of God. You are obligated to do that as a believer. So we're not trying to poo-poo on anybody who's desired to just go have fun and see a movie, but we're trying to inform you that this isn't just a movie. This movie is sending a clear-cut message that Christians need to be aware about.
Yes, so well said, Daryl. And that's why it is important, even for people who maybe have already boycotted Disney, for example, and you think, well, I'm not going to see that anyway. It's important for Christians to be informed about what the culture is teaching. And like I said, I mean, the Inside Out 2 is the third highest day opening grossing animated film domestically of all time. I mean, this is a worldview that is prevalent in culture. It's prominently displayed in this movie, but it's prominently displayed that the worldview in all corners of America. I mean, we're celebrating Pride Month according to the secular culture. We're doing all of these things that lean into queer theory, that are teaching psychology instead of biblical truth. And I love, Daryl, that with each question that we talk about and each response, you go to the Word of God. I mean, this isn't just, you know, our opinions here. We're not talking about this like a movie critic about, you know, oh, well, the lighting or the costuming or the animation or soundtrack. I mean, those things we can have different opinions on. But going to the Word of God and combating a false worldview with the truth is not a matter of your or my opinion on this film. It's a matter of staying consistent with biblical truth. And so for the Christians out there, we can have opinions, but we cannot change the facts of the biblical worldview. And if you want to live consistently as a Christian, have a cohesive biblical worldview, then you have to look at the culture, look at what it teaches, and contrast that and compare it with the truth, and ultimately reject what is false and only accept and embrace and live in what is right. And so just in the last 2 minutes or so I have with you, Daryl, and I so appreciate you coming on. This has been a wonderful conversation, and I hope enlightening the listeners on how we can do this, I think, with all types of entertainment. What would be your message overall to Christians who maybe, you know, somebody's listening to this and thinking, wow, that, you know, this was just a movie, I thought it was cute. How do they start having a biblical worldview to analyze everything that we encounter daily in culture like this?
Yeah, I would start by just exhorting your listeners, Jenna, who are believers, to go to John 17 and read Jesus's, what we refer to as Jesus's high priestly prayer, where you will read that Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father to not take us out of the world. Now, intrinsic with that request is the realization that Christ wanted his people to remain in the world for a reason. That reason is to be salt and light. We know that, but man, we say that as if it's just a bumper sticker on the rear end of a car. Being salt and light is a command that we are to carry out. We're to act this out. It is a dynamic command. We are to be involved in the culture. We are in the world, but not of the world. And because of that, because we're in the world, not of the world, we have an obligation. I say this all the time. Every Christian is a theologian. The only question is whether you're a good one or a bad one. So again, your listeners, someone can take this film lightly if they want, but you must become such a good theologian where you look at even something as seemingly innocuous as a film like this and critique it up against the Word of God, because your children's minds and hearts are at stake.
Amen. Amen. Well, Daryl Harrison, follow him at DB Harrison. and also the co-host of the Just Thinking podcast. And you can reach me and my team, Jenna, at AFR.net. And I hope that daily this program, along with American Family Radio Network, is encouraging you through all of the issues that we encounter, whether it's cultural, it's politics, it's church, it's family, all of these things that we encounter daily, to be focused on becoming better theologians, which is growing in the knowledge of God so that we can live rightly. We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.